welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker. Today, I am talking to Sophia and Alex Torrenshaw. They are the directors and creative team behind Layered Hatters and now Layered Utility, a new workwear brand that is kind of sitting alongside Layered Hatters. And we'll get into all that, how that all came about. I should say there's a bit of life getting in the way here. The audio has some baby noises in the background. This was quite an impromptu interview, and I can hopefully you can appreciate that not everything is studio based and no environment is always conducive for interviews, but there are short bursts of babies having their say, which is perfectly fine, and most of the interview is absolutely crystal clear, as you're about to hear. And in fact, let me bring them in now, Sophia and Alex, to talk about Layered Hatters and Layered Utility in their own words.
Well, we now have two brands, but starting with Layered Hatters, it's a traditional handmade caps and hats we do, but with a contemporary edge. It's not, yes, there's not millinery, so we call ourselves hatters. It's the slightly more masculine, cleaner look, a bit slicker, bold.
Well, we always describe milliners as people who stick feathers and things. And,
it's not occasion hats. It's not occasion wear. It's, yes, for every day and...
More for every day. I mean, we do some occasion hats, but we don't really do ladies' occasion hats, the big kind of meringue things.
More the top hat and the humbugs.
Yes. Right. Yeah, exactly,
special pocket wear.
And so, I mean, we've got a new clothing line to talk about, which I'm very excited to get into. But if we could maybe talk about where it began and what brought you guys into Layered Hatters originally.
We started 2009. I was looking to change career into something more creative. Sophia and I were married, and we are three children at the time. Our youngest was I think 11 Nine. Months or something, so and Sophia was coming back to work after quite a long maternity leave, because we'd had three children very, very quickly, one after the other, and we wanted to start something together. We both had different skills that we were bringing to the business. Sophia had worked with in kind of more kind of logistic end of things and cosmetic packaging.
And then also my languages.
And yes, we also wanted to do retail. So we started Layered Hatters as it was on Columbia Road, and then and kind of opened the retail store selling other brands. And very quickly, wanted to open a 7-day week operation, which initially it wasn't, and also bring out our own collection, really, and our own range. And it really grew from there. So we opened a series of shops quite quickly, one after the other. So Columbia Road in Bethnal Green, and then early 2010, Covent Garden. Then Soho, we opened a city store, which then needed to pop up. And then took over our neighbour and expanded in Covent Garden as well.
Cambridge.
One in Cambridge.
2014, and we opened actually in Oxford.
And the Strand.
And you know, we also opened Oxford last year, kind of mid lockdowns.
Actually,
because when we did reopen last summer, our Cambridge store did exceptionally well, whereas the London took a long time really for people to come back. And then we went into another second lockdown and then third lockdown. So really, it's London's only seen recovery, probably retail wise, September onwards. Cambridge did really well, so we decided to open Oxford, which we'd actually long thought about doing.
Amazing. And how do you guys spend your time between the stores?
Yes, we do. I mean, it was
a little, as we said nowadays.
Once upon a time, we were in there every. I was in there every day, almost 7 days a week. But now we've got very good managers in each store. We're taking up very much with manufacturing for. for the stores, and we do a lot of wholesale as well. There aren't many hatters around, so lots of people approach us to kind of make for them. As
it's an under their label and something. Yes.
And this summer, I've been very busy getting the Laird Utility clothing range out. So, which was kind of a lockdown design project, I guess. And then as soon as we reopened, we went to patterning and sampling and
production.
We're now in full production.
And the range looks great, and I was really pleasantly surprised. I don't know if I was kind of like totally surprised that you guys had moved into clothing, but of course it feels like a lateral move now, looking at the ethos of the hats.
It sort of seemed like the natural progression. It's kind of what we always wore anyway, I guess. And also from doing shoots for Laird Hatters, it was always difficult, I guess, doing press calls, trying to get the right look for everything for the photo shoots and how we wanted to present the caps. And it was sort of out of that as well, really.
I do love workwear all the time.
Even if Laird Utility bombs, I'm just going to wear everything myself.
Nice. Oh, listen, I've got a real affinity for workwear clothing. I just need to convince my girlfriend that this is the look for me. she can't really get on board with workwear, but you know, that's a
everybody. It's kind of creeping into everything at the minute. I mean, I was watching Top Gear and they were kind of wearing the various bits. I was watching, you know, Match of the Day the other day, and Gary Lineker was wearing
like a lumberjack kind of shirt, right?
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah. You know, it's very, very much.
Well, I do feel after lockdown that the mood has very much changed. The stage has changed, and with working from home, people have really relaxed. So the suit, you know, it's a bold thing to say, is the suit dead? But that's why I think workwear is definitely going to have a massive renaissance. It's just, you know, practical.
Well, it's comfortable as well, and you know, you know, I know lots of people who live, you know, live the 50s, and actually, you know, you can. Now, as Sophia was saying, it's quite relaxed, so you can kind of take, you can pick and choose really what you want to wear, and you can creep it in, whether it be a pair of trousers or, you know, a kind of
it's something you can wear also weekend and weekday. It's such an all round.
Yeah, I mean the pea coat, which I mean we've done a version of. The pea coat's been around for, you know, 15, 20 years. It's been really, really popular, and from the whole vintage movement of the last 10, 15 years, I guess, you know, workwear and that kind of 50s vibe, 40s, 50s, militaria is... has got something to say on this as well.
Yeah. No, I really want to hear her input on this as well.
I think it's been a kind of a natural progression in where we've gone. I mean, you've got, you know, athleisure, and then you've got the kind of more... Maybe it's a slightly older look, you know, 30s plus. I might be shocked for saying that, but, you know, it's quite an easy
thing. Well, people going around in leggings might be comfortable, but it's not dressed up. I mean, I think it's a good, it's an improvement, isn't it, on slightly dressed down look?
Yeah, I mean, I really like it. You can wear, I mean, it's quite unisex, which is really good. You know, you can do we've done a worker jacket, which is for, you know, men and women, and, you know, women wear it slightly oversized, maybe. That kind of 50s feminine look is really nice, and also equally quite masculine.
We've done dresses as well. We have.
I mean, we've done a dungaree dress, which is maybe slightly...
We've got lots of pieces still to release that aren't online yet, so it's going to be drops of new items.
Yes.
And Alex,
yes,
can people find the clothes in stores as well?
Well, we're going to probably put capsule bits in Laird Hatters, I guess.
And basically, not yet. Currently, it's online only, and we are pondering the next move, whether we move into, you know, bricks and mortar or how we do it.
Talking practically, at the moment, everything is made in England, and mainly England stuff is quite expensive. So for us at the moment, we can retail it and we can, you know, still eke out a margin, but to wholesale it, we probably have to bring production cost down, which would probably mean, you know, moving abroad perhaps, which we don't want to do at the moment. So no, I mean, we've always been retailers, I guess. We, you know, when we started Layer Tatters, primarily we do retail. We've only really done wholesale, and wholesale has grown out of people asking us to do various projects. So it's never really been our natural impetus. We've always wanted to just get our collection out and retail it ourselves.
Great.
You know, through the shops, but we've always had an online offering as well, which has been, you know, even when we first opened in 2009, we had our e-commerce offering. And that's grown and grown and grown. And thankfully last year that kind of propped us up a little bit, because all the stores were shut, obviously, during the lockdown. So e-commerce became increasingly important.
And it has really been growing,
It kind of doubled. It's kind of doubled year on year since 2009 from quite a low base. But really last year it came into its own for the first time, really, I guess.
Right. And how hard was it to get the clothing line off the ground during these crazy times? And why was it important, Alex, for you to, and Sophia, for you to have the clothes made in England when we know production can be a little bit cheaper offshore?
Our hats and caps are made in England. And so again, it's our natural ground. And I mean, everybody talks about, you know, sustainability, and you have to start, you know, shredding your old jumpers to reweave it into stuff. But really, I mean, the best and most sustainable way to make things, I think, is to, you know, like we do, we buy British cloth, it trundles to our workshop, we make the stuff, we take it 20 miles down the road to either came up the road to Cambridge or down the road to London. And we try and make it so that it's not, you know, it's not fast fashion, it's slow fashion. And hopefully everything we make will last you a lifetime. And maybe you'll want to buy another colour, but you shouldn't really need to buy another cap off of us to replace the same one, and the same with the jacket. And it's much easier to control, quality control, and you can, it kind of keeps... I mean, it keeps the money at home. I'm not a big Brexiter. Yeah, but it does make sense that you buy all of your cloth in England, all of our buttons are made in England.
We're supporting local businesses, but also manufacturing crafts. It's very important to have those skills to support manufacturing. And it's, buy British, buy local. It's really important.
I mean, it's increasingly difficult as well to get things in from Europe. So, you know, we can ring up one of our cloth suppliers. If it's stock supported, you know, they send it down, we get it the next day. So it's, that's important. And for us, you know, we've got the infrastructure so we can, you know, make the things ourselves and retail it. And that's good for us. A lot of our e-commerce stuff, so that we don't have to hold lots of stock, or it might be in the shops or something. We make a lot, orders that come in on e-commerce, we make to order anyway. So our weekend orders, we kind of make through Monday, Tuesday. And
that's really sustainable because you have minimal wastage. The same with workwear, similar to the caps, we don't have necessarily seasons, and that's really important that it's spread over, it's perennial, shall we say. You can wear it year in, year out. You know, you can say, that's 2019. Oh, you can't wear that colour. Mm. And it's already classic as, I guess.
Yeah.
The right word.
Classic. Exactly,
enduring.
And guys on the site, on the Lead Hatters site, there's a wonderful piece about the Peaky Blinders caps, and I was wondering, did you supply any for production? And I guess do a lot of TV, film, and media come to you guys?
I have to say, Peaky Blinders is a very closely guarded
Just to say this involvement,
non-disclosure type things. So probably we can't actually say anything.
Sure, no problem. But outside
having said that, I should say that Peaky Blinders has done for the Cap what Mad Men probably did for the Hat. Yeah. In the kind of the I don't know when Mad Men was on, 11, 12, 13, you know, 2012. Anyway, yeah. it's been absolutely brilliant for Headwear. I mean,
you get lots of film, like Breaking Bad, across Europe
as well. Yes. It's been absolutely fantastic. And really ties in, you know, it ties into what we were talking about in terms of, you know, workwear and vintage. It's Peaky Blinders is probably the pinnacle of everything that's been happening.
And we're waiting for season six,
yes, exactly. Amazing. But in the realms of like the films and production companies, Peaky Blinders aside, do you have like a lot of people come to you and ask, could you supply us X, Y, and Z for our next series of X, Y, and Z?
We've just done Panama's for the new Indiana Jones movie. We do lots of movie stuff. We have actors who come in. Tom Hardy comes in whenever he's doing a new thing. He's quite a method actor and gets a hat or something, and kind of, I don't know if that helps him get into character. We work with lots of what are they called?
Stylists.
Costume designers.
Who come to us to either buy for shoots or productions or, you know, what have you.
We did do quite a bit with Strictly. Uh-huh. They're not allowed to credit you.
For example, the Indiana Jones things, they came in and bought them because I think they're very, they guard their kind of credits quite closely. But that's fine for us. They came and bought seven and they'll be in the movie. And it's good for retail, and we can mention it because they didn't ask us to sign anything, so it's fine.
Yeah, I know there's a huge thing with credits. Used to be quite easy to get back in the day, that you'd have like suits supplied by Cerruti or XYZ, but you have, speaking to a couple of brands, you have to either pay through the nose or just ask incessantly, and hopefully something might slide through.
I think Bond, you have to pay to get into things like that, product placements and whatnot. So yeah, I mean, for us, it's, you know, we don't really go after it, and it's a very nice bit of the business. And we work, the stylist coming to pay us for production hats is great. On the press loan side of things, we do lots of things with kind of Vogue and GQs and whatnot, which is nice. We've always done that from the very beginning, actually. Sophia, from somewhere, got a list of the top 100 or so stylists and sent out our... said that we existed, and ever since, really, people have done press calls, and we've been in the magazines, and we get the credit,
it's been a very useful bit of free marketing for us.
It is, yeah. And if we remember to ask for the photos, they'll send us the photos. We use them. I mean, often it's so far in advance, you know, 6 months in advance for the following season or something. Often it's difficult to remember.
You have to wait to see if they've actually
to go back to them and say, oh, can we have the photos or what have you. But that's always been quite nice.
I mean, yeah, it's great outreach, Sophia. Great idea to get that. I mean, the credits in there, everyone would look at who's wearing what, and then you'll kind of see the little kind of linear notes that will say hats by blah, blah, blah.
We've done some great ones recently with Vogue, and it's wonderful to see. Obviously, that's a massive, you know, title, how it ends up around the world in Canada and Japan or Australia.
We did one loan, I think it was for... So the Japanese one, and then I think it was a Japanese one, but then it got syndicated out to Australia and the US Vogue and British Vogue.
So that's success.
Which was quite nice, actually. I'd kind of love it if you kind of got the lineage and immediately, you know,
you see an impact.
You sold 50 hats or something, but I guess it's a slow burn. You never know. It's like all marketing. You really don't really know where the sales come from.
Hard to quantify,
But as long as it's good, then it's fine. Don't complain.
Or brand awareness, I suppose, if you just kind of write it off and say, look, it's like
you
just
get
having
great images, amazing photographers and setups that we've never come up with. We love that aspect.
I mean, just pushing, just going back to your original question, I guess, which was, you know, why are we making it in England? I mean, on the hat side, I guess that's what we're known for. We're known for the quality that we produce, and we didn't want to jeopardize that by bringing out something that was then made in Portugal, as lots of things are, or something. You know, we wanted to really keep to you know, the Lair Tatters principles with lead utility.
Our ethos, yes.
Our core ethos. And it makes it, I mean, it does make life a lot easier if you can produce in England.
We can do smaller volumes, we can control it, makes us more agile as a business.
It does, and we are small. And, you know, when we first started, for example, we lived at the end of the central line, and I only really looked at shops that were somewhere along the central line because it made life a lot easier to get to. And, you know, keeping things small and making sure that business and suppliers and everything else are a little bit more local helps.
Yeah, it's so important to have that relationship.
And also, I can't really imagine. So with Laird Utility, you know, we used a local pattern maker who was reasonably close to where we live. We would then make the samples, then have to go back to the pattern maker. So it's quite labor intensive. And I can't imagine having done that if we were using manufacturing kind of outside of the UK or even anywhere, you know, a little bit more distant
from us.
We
can keep a much closer eye on quality, that we are happy with what goes out. It's just...
Yeah, because I was trundling up and down the A10 continually.
Cycle.
Sorting out.
And
that made it all a lot easier. It was very time-consuming, but it was less time-consuming than it might have been.
I think also what I really like about the clothing range and the hats kind of being under the same umbrella, so to speak, is that it does complete an outfit. And whenever I've been into one of your stores, guys, I've always looked at the salesman or saleswoman on hand, and I've always thought, well, their overall look looks really great. It's not just the hats they're wearing. They're kind of like stylists in their own way. And I think people will appreciate that following your Instagram accounts and stuff. So having like the whole look tied together is, and then kind of using that as a template. I mean, people can obviously tweak.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've kind of really enjoyed, actually. We've done 3 shoots, I think, now since we've kind of launched, or since we've had the samples for Lead Utility. And apart from it making life so much easier, it does, you know, whether we're styling for the clothes or whether we're styling for the hats, it just does make it much more complete. And you can style what you want and how you wanted it styled in the first place, because you've produced everything. I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, write the theme tune, sing the theme tune kind of thing.
But it's interesting you mentioned how individual our team are in the shops, because that just illustrates how differently you can style things and wear it.
Yeah, I mean, when we started Laird Hatters, I guess we are aware that there are hatters around, you know, who are much older than us. But in terms of, you know, when they start, I mean, Lock and Cozy, one, I think, it's the oldest men's store in the world or something.
Second oldest,
and they are fantastic. But what's the oldest?
It's an old butcher's somewhere in Devon, I believe.
Oh, right, okay.
But somewhere
near where we live, there was a gentleman's outfitters called Tisman's, which closed, I think, 20...
You said that was like in the Doomsday Clock. 17? And
it was the Doomsday Clock. It was old, not that old. Almost. Not that old. It wasn't Norman, but it was pretty old. They closed,
the ones who started records.
I think they were one of the oldest, but... yeah, it's we wanted to do something a bit more contemporary. You know, it was very much of an ilk, lots of kind of drab browns and greys, and we wanted to you know, not reinvent the hat, because, you know, we sell trilbies and we sell fedoras and what have you, but restyle it. So use slightly more vibrant colors, use different textures, different fabrics, and also just create a different look. As you said, you know, have the guys and girls in our shop all very individual, very cool, either models or musicians or artists or what have you. And they make it look cool. So if you're going in there to buy something, you go, oh, yeah, actually, I can wear it. It doesn't have to be brim up, brim down like 1950s. You can wear it at an angle, or, you know, they help style, you know, the people who enjoy the brand, I guess.
Yeah. No, it's always a great experience. I haven't been into the Bethnal Green one. In fact, I didn't know you had one over there in Truth.
Oh, no. Well, no, well we kind of, because it was only Sundays, and it took as much management as all the other shops. So when we opened Soho in 2012, we sold the lease on the Columbia Road place.
Right.
So it was the first store, but we closed in 2012. Also, Columbia Road itself, which is a very old flower market, and you know, very fashionable. Yeah, there's lots of celebs who go there to be seen on a Sunday. I think 100,000 people or something go there every Sunday morning.
I know.
We did our 2 years and that was enough.
The dynamic around there was changing with Shoreditch developing as well. So,
right. Okay. Yeah. I lived in Bethnal Green for a year and change, and my girlfriend would always take me down Columbia Road, and I have a little bit of a love-hate relationship with it because I love being there. I think it's a great experience, but it's just got so saturated now that it becomes a slightly less enjoyable experience when you can't move.
Just take photos, and that's not really, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was nice for, you know, for independent stores, it's great.
Yes.
There are some really individual places. And when we opened, we sold hats, but we also sold, if it wasn't nailed down, we sold it, actually, kind of vintage furniture and Jubilee mugs and things and scarves. And
which we now have designed and are selling off.
We've
using an English
circle
mill and etc.
We've got some lovely, so we've done the design and it's printed onto.
Yeah. Peak District Water. So it's up in, yeah, near Macclesfield. It's been made.
Very cool.
I have to say, I love the scarf. It's got the Laird logo, kind of goes working through everything on the scarf, which is great. Nice. It looks nice.
Well, it looks great on the website, especially with the accessories that you have over on the hats section. Have you guys got any plans to go into footwear at all? Is that maybe on the horizon?
Yes, actually, we're just fine. We can't, I have to say, hand on heart, we can't make shoes, so we are looking for a British maker. I mean, the kind of the Derby shoe in a grain leather would be amazing for the brand, and maybe we're looking for somebody who can make for us under Laird Utility brand, but
so there will be more coming.
Yeah,
definitely.
There you go. And then it's top to toe. It's literally the entire look.
Yeah,
brilliant. So,
we haven't done pants yet, but yes,
all pajamas.
But we'll get there eventually.
Workwear pajamas. I can see it now. They used to wear hats in bed in the old days. I remember the old Laurel Hardy films.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yes. Morecambe and Wise. Yeah,
something like that can make a comeback. Why not? Listen, Alex and Sophia, thanks so much for your time and congratulations on releasing the new clothing line as well. I'm really excited for you guys, and I can't wait to see it. And where can people find you on social media? Where's the place they like to where you like to hang out?
Instagram.
Facebook,
but
Instagram is the most.
Laird Hatters and Laird Utility. Laird Utility is lairdutility.com if you want to look up the website, or lairdhatters.com. And
we're Laird Hatters on Instagram and Laird Utility.
Yeah.
So quite straightforward.
That's it, really. I think that's everything. And I think on Facebook as well, and maybe even Twitter.
Yes, we are.
But not my department.
Instagram is the most. It's not a great visual. Yeah, lovely.
And are you operating that if people DM you, or are you on the other end?
Actually, we went back to our roots. So the most, one of the shoots that we've done for Laird Utility and Laird Hatters, we did on Columbia Road. We did it in Hackney Wick, and then second one was Columbia Road.
Yeah, so that was great.
Nice.
So we'll go back to the beginning.
Ah, awesome. Well, guys, we'll put all the links over on the show notes over at menswearstyle.co.uk. So it'll all be under one roof there for people if they want to find out where you guys are. And I do encourage everyone to get down while you can, I suppose, hopefully before any kind of lockdowns or any other further restrictions. Man, yeah, exactly. I know that must be really hard for you guys, but the stores themselves are also well worth the visit, I have to say. So
they are currently still all open. So yeah, fingers crossed that everything works out and we get to spring.
Yes.
You've been listening to the Menswear Style podcast. Be sure to head over to menswearstyle.co.uk for more menswear content and email info@menswearstyle.co.uk if you would like to be a future guest on the show. Finally, please help support the show by leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast. Until next time.